MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting with Viv Govender, you find him, of course, at Rand Swiss. Viv, tech broadly, AI more specifically. I mean, we got ChatGPT version 3, just over 2 years ago. We're sitting here now in 2 years later. We're on 4.01 on ChatGPT. There really has been a huge explosion. The growth, the advancements that we've seen in the 2 years have been mind-blowing in senses. I mean, text to video, the music services, the 11 labs and voices, the growth has been insane.
Oh, yes, it has. It's been one of the fastest growing and best funded scientific revolutions of all time. If you look at the amount of money being pumped into this particular, it was a revolution, as you would say. We're talking, it rivals the space program by quite a bit. This is by far the most expensive infrastructure build-out ever done by the private sector. I think the thing that will come close to this would be the build-out of the 5G and stuff networks for the mobile sector. But this, in terms of just a new technology, I think is the biggest ever. And I think the way you can see that is by looking at the guy that's selling the shovels for this particular gold rush, and that's NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And every single quarter, they come out with these incredible results. And even though it's the most valuable company in the world right now, people don't realize that. They think it's Apple slow, whatever. It's actually more valuable than Apple.
Yeah.
And it's happened in the last 2-3 years.
It has been an insane rush, and you mentioned NVIDIA selling the shovels. The buyers of those shovels are Microsoft, Meta, Alphabet, and we can see it in their CapEx and R&D spend. My question is, I mean, they're throwing huge money into this. Obviously, at some point, they want to start making money. I mean, how do they make money from AI? Or is it a case of we'll find that out in time? I still remember when, Meta was like, oh, they can't make money on mobile. Well, they proved everyone wrong about that.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I think it's the next versions of these programs are due out the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. Perhaps OpenAI might surprise us with giving us, GPT-5, at the last day of their 12 days of AI. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely they're going to give us nothing on the final day. I mean, it's like an advent calendar. You don't get the best prize on day three. You get beat at the end. So I think it is going to be likely something big coming out at the end. And I do think that, those new models are going to have capabilities we believe that are going to be substantially better than what we've experienced so far. But the question is, are they going to hit a wall or something? The interesting fact I learned last week was apparently xAI, that's the Elon Musk company, mm-hmm. was the first one to get a system up that had 100,000 of these GPUs, put together. And to understand how this stuff works is that, you basically need to have each of these GPUs understand what every one of the other 100,000 GPUs is thinking at any point in time in order to make it all coherent and to train a model. And up to the point of xAI came into it, they were thinking that the maximum number you could do and be coherent was about 30,000. Mm-hmm. But apparently they've gotten to 100,000 and, this is like the Elon Musk effect. They're able to do things that other people can't just because they are, able to think from first principles. So, so the argument there is that, we are getting, because of scalability, as you know, the more compute, more data, better thing that you get in the end, we are about to see new models coming out being trained on vastly larger systems. As when Grok 3 comes out, probably in February, mm-hmm. we will actually have a close idea or a good idea of what a next generation kind of model looks like, maybe even more than GPT-5.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what these things can actually do. And then we will know what the use cases could be that could earn money.
Absolutely. And I mean, Sora came out finally. I mean, it wasn't in beta. I think they were red teaming, blue teaming it since about February. That has suddenly arrived. Access, I think Britain and Europe are not getting it. Otherwise, Plus and Pro subscribers to ChatGPT or OpenAI get it. And I mean, and this is text to video, which, I mean, it's almost, I mean, I've seen this. I've played with it a bit. It is absolutely astounding. But it's kind of brushing. I think we're losing the sense of just how amazingly awesome this is.
Yeah, I mean, right now anyone can go with a WhatsApp and talking about a specialized program, just with your WhatsApp, which I think the majority of people have. You can go there and you can ask, Meta's model to draw you a picture of something.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first saw the stuff coming out from, these models a couple of years ago. And I showed it to my wife and said, my God, this is incredible. I actually remember calling her to the room and saying, look at this stuff and saying, look at this, this is magical. And now it's available on everybody's WhatsApp. And I think most people have never used it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, but look, I mean, video, I think, is the real danger here. And the reason that places like the EU and stuff are banning it is that we are about to get to a point where we can no longer trust video. We can't trust, photos anymore. And the reason that most people don't see how good the photos are is because they just can't prompt them properly.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand what instructions to put in. But if you have a person that knows how to prompt these things, the photos that come out, they look like photos you take with your camera.
Yeah.
They look absolutely realistic. And in a few years' time, we're going to get to the same point with video. Video isn't at the point now. Video is like how photos were 2 years ago, where you have missing fingers or extra fingers, or if you look closely enough, you see that the teeth don't kind of match or the writing is right. So you can't spot the actual things. But photos at the moment, you cannot spot. I cannot spot an AI photo and a real photo. And even if I know what to look for, like in terms of like the fingers and the different things that usually gets wrong, I can't spot them right now. And in a couple of years' time, it's going to be that with video, at which point in time, you cannot believe anything that you see online.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be the real danger going forward.
Yeah, we are in a new wild world. You and I have chatted a lot about Tesla over the years. You've always made the case that you've got to look at Tesla as a tech company, as an AI company. If you look at it at a motor vehicle company, none of the numbers make sense. They're full self driving, and I think it's 13.2 that come out. It's relatively new out. By reports, it is knocking it out the park. It seems to have leapfrogged Waymo and really sort of got to a point where the car can be autonomous.
Yes. This is something I think that's come about because of the fact that Tesla basically went back as soon as the AI stuff started to be more realistically, most of us known about it. They went back and they basically revamped how they were training it. So even though this is 13.2, as you can see, it's probably like version 2 or something.
Yeah.
Because this is a totally new technology that they're using to actually get to this point. And that is, I think, the important factor that they have achieved this thing, not from multiple years. Like, you talk about it from the time Tesla started till now. They've actually achieved this particular, version of full self-driving in the last 2-3 years, because that's when they actually started training with the new systems made available with machine learning to get what we have right now. And like you said, yes, there are a few bugs left, so it's not perfect just now. But it's getting very close to a point at which you're going to easily say this is better than a human driver.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that Elon Musk, with his relationship with Trump, is actually going to be able to take advantage of that, because the argument they're going to make is that the rumor is that what they're going to do is they're going to make, if you're going to get self-driving approved in one jurisdiction, it's going to be countrywide. It's not going to be a case of self-driving is approved in California, that's approved in Texas, it's approved in wherever. If self-driving is approved, it's approved everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be like you have a driver's license in California, you can use it in Florida.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And this is going to be different from Waymo, because Waymo right now is approved in various individual cities. It's not a universal program. Obviously, Waymo, if they could get this stuff together, would be able to also, piggyback on this particular thing. But the thing with Waymo, as you mentioned, is the fact that they also have far more expensive cars, because the sensors are much more expensive. And they have a different technology that requires like mapping of the whole, area they're working in and so on. So they can't just work in a new area, out of without any extra, help. But Tesla can. So it's going to be a much more widely available system as soon as we get to a point where you can say reasonably, as it goes confidently, it's better than a human driver.
Yeah. And I mean, those Waymos with their LiDAR, I think they're around $120,000 per vehicle, full self-driving. I mean, a Tesla, you get the entire Tesla for half of that. We'll leave it there. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stainlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.